Giants President of Baseball Operations Farhan Zaidi and manager Gabe Kapler met with the media yesterday to talk about the season that was for the Giants and the questions that face this team heading into the offseason. So coming up on today's Locked on Giants podcast, we're going to talk about the key points from that session with reporters. We'll talk about what they said about Buster Posey's future with this team, Brandon Belt reaching free agency, the entire starting rotation outside of Logan Webb reaching free agency, and also the free agency of Chris Bryant. So a lot to get into, and it's all next on Locked on Giants.
You are Locked on Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thank you so much for making Locked on Giants your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms, which now includes YouTube as well, so check us out there. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need, visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. And as I said, coming up on today's show, we are going to talk about this session with the media that Farhan Zaidi and Gabe Kapler had yesterday. They covered a wide range of relevant, pertinent topics facing this team. And the first thing that they got into was probably the most important thing of all, which is Buster Posey's status. And what Farhan Zaidi said about Buster Posey was the following. Quote, I thought he was the best catcher in baseball this year. Obviously, we want to have conversations with Buster and continue to have internal conversations about that. But having him on this team next year is a high priority. Now, the thing is, and this is noted by Maria Guardado of MLB.com, and we've been talking about it a lot, that Buster Posey has kind of hinted at the possibility that he may perhaps want to retire. He's never really said it explicitly, but this is what he said earlier in the year. It may have been just a few days ago that he said this. He's basically said the same thing multiple times in different ways. He said, quote, I'm definitely just going to take some time with my wife, talk to her, and be able to be a full-time dad of four kids for the first time in a while. I'm just going to take it slow and see how things progress. So, this is the big question facing this team right now, because Buster Posey, Farhan Zaidi is right. He was the best catcher in baseball this year. I'm not sure I even realized that. There were certain points that other catchers were slightly ahead of him in terms of wins above replacement, which is an imperfect metric, but it's one that shows Posey as being the best catcher in baseball. So, we can disparage it all we want, but it's saying that the Giants' star player is the best in the game. So, it doesn't benefit us too much to say negative things about that metric. But the point is, he was very good, and that's obvious. And him coming back in 2022 is important to this team for a number of reasons. And we're going to talk about those reasons right now. Number one, I mentioned this yesterday, but there isn't a solution at the catcher position in free agency. The best three catchers by Fangraphs wins above replacement in 2021 who are free agents now are Yan Gomes, Manny Pena, and Robinson Chirinos. The next best is Steven Vogt, and then everybody else basically below replacement level production. And even those guys I mentioned, I would honestly say that Kurt Casale may be the best among those players if he was a free agent. That's the type of class we're looking at. The best you're going to do is a Kurt Casale type of player. And so, what a downgrade it would be to go from Buster Posey to an everyday situation of Kurt Casale. No offense, Kurt Casale. It's just a high bar with Buster Posey. And then your backup catcher being somebody even worse in theory, right? So the one way that, you know, I'm sure there are a ton of you thinking this right now, what about Joey Bart, right? What about Joey Bart? Joey Bart spent the season in AAA. He ended up playing two games with the San Francisco Giants in 2021, had six plate appearances, and had two hits. But, you know, obviously that's not enough of a sample to draw any conclusions. But the fact is, okay, let me back up for 1 second. Bart spent 67 games in AAA, had 279 plate appearances. And on the surface, a lot of the numbers look really good. He hit 294, he had a 358 on base, he had a 472 slugging. So again, those numbers look good on paper, but then you have to realize that that environment there is a really hitter-friendly environment in that league. And in that league, that was just 7% above average offensive production. So basically close to league average production, even though by major league standards, those are good numbers. And then digging deeper, there are just concerns, just a 7.5% walk rate to go along with a 29.4% strikeout rate. So that's a little bit alarming. If that's what you're doing in a hitter-friendly environment in AAA, then those numbers are probably going to be worse at the major league level. And it's especially like it confirms those fears when we look at what Bart did at the major league level in 2020 when he was thrust into everyday playing time. He struck out 37% of the time and walked just 2.7% of the time. Those are really poor plate discipline, strikeout to walk ratio type of numbers. And the other last factor about Joey Bart this season in AAA is that a lot of that offense was fueled by a 398 batting average on balls in play, which is unsustainably high. So basically, I look at Bart's season in AAA, and I don't see a guy who's ready to just take over at the major league level. So if you're talking about a future without Buster Posey, potentially, Joey Bart, I think it would be, if he, you know, assuming he's not traded, it would be absolutely essential to start giving him a taste of the major league starting in 2022. There's just no doubt about it if you don't have Buster Posey. Even if you do have Buster Posey, I'd like to, you know, they can't just leave him at AAA forever, right? Eventually, he's going to have to sink or swim at the major league level. But anyway, I just look at those AAA numbers and nothing about it screams to me that he's ready for lots of playing time at the major league level. So the Giants do have a $22 million club option on Posey. And to me, it's a slam dunk no-brainer to pick that up. And the only question is, will Posey retire? If he wants to play, great. You've got him locked in. You could bring back Kurt Casale via the arbitration process. So the Giants are potentially set up well here at the catcher position, but a lot of it is going to depend on the future of Posey. And the Giants will have 5 days after the World Series ends to make a decision on that club option. So we'll know pretty soon what the future is going to be and if Posey's going to be back. So that's going to be something to watch for. Anyway, coming up next, we're going to turn the page to Brandon Belt's free agency, Chris Bryant's free agency, just a lot more to get into next. But first, this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. So why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for literally the exact same part from a chain store or car dealership? It just doesn't make any sense at all. I've done this myself. Find out what the part is you need. Order it yourself, save a bunch of money, and you can even have the dealership install it if you want, but you're just simply saving money by buying the part yourself. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, as promised, we're going to shift our attention a little bit to, how about, you know, Brandon Belt's free agency. And it's not just us talking about this. We're going to talk about what Farhan Zaidi and Gabe Kapler had to say at this meeting with the media yesterday. And so with Brandon Belt, he's reaching free agency right now. He is eligible to receive the $18.4 million qualifying offer. And I think that he, you know, along with potentially Anthony DeSclafani and potentially Alex Wood, I think Belt is the most obvious candidate for the Giants to extend this offer to. The rule is basically anybody can get it as long as they spent the whole season with your team and they've never received a qualifying offer in the past. So Belt obviously spent the whole season with the Giants. He wasn't on, you know, some other team at any point. He never has been. And he has never received it in the past. So the Giants can offer it to him. It's an $18.4 million one-year deal. And he has some time to choose or to think about it. And then he has to make a decision. He either accepts it, he rejects it, or you could come to some kind of agreement on an extension in the meantime. But he could just accept it and then boom, that's locked in. He's back for $18.4 million. This is how the Giants retained Kevin Gausman last year. They extended him the qualifying offer. It was set at a slightly higher price last year. It's based on the average one-year contract of the top X amount of players in any given year. So this year it went down a little bit, but still $18.4 million. And anyway, I think there's a chance Belt could accept that, but he probably could do better in free agency. So he would be a candidate to receive the offer and also potentially reject the qualifying offer. But in terms of Brandon Belt, this is what Farhan Zaidi had to say. Quote, "You could talk about his value both in how he played down the stretch and how much we missed him once he went down. He's happy here. I think he feels really appreciated." And side note by me, Ben, when Farhan Zaidi said, "I think he feels really appreciated," he looked at Gabe Kapler, Farhan Zaidi did. And this is like kind of insider stuff, and I don't know how far down this rabbit hole I want to go, but it's kind of publicly known a little bit that Brandon Belt was not as appreciated by the old regime and coaching staff specifically. And when Kapler came in, some of the quotes you may have heard right away, he's talking about how Brandon Belt is like the quintessential player that they want their hitters to be like, and how Brandon Belt is an assassin at the plate. Just all these kind of gushing compliments that came from Gabe Kapler as soon as he was hired about Brandon Belt. I remember doing an episode titled "Gabe Kapler is on the correct side of the Belt Wars." And so when he says, I think he feels really appreciated, he's talking about, I mean, under this coaching staff, they have really allowed Brandon Belt to be himself, encouraged Brandon Belt to be himself. And what that means for Brandon Belt is his approach is that he looks for a pitch he can drive. He doesn't swing if he doesn't think he can drive the pitch. And sometimes that leads to taking a called third strike, maybe. And people have often criticized Brandon Belt for that. But actually, that's the approach that they want their hitters to take right now. And Brandon Belt does it. And Brandon Belt has said that it's not necessarily that he made physical adjustments to his swing when we're talking about how good he's been over the last couple of years. Now, he's been a great offensive player. But he said it's more about just feeling comfortable in his approach and appreciated in his approach and not feeling pressure to do anything differently. So that's kind of like inside. It's a little bit of a sensitive subject because we don't want to talk bad about the previous regime and Bochy and his staff. But at the end of the day, I think that they didn't necessarily think Brandon Belt's approach was the correct one, and this staff does, and Brandon Belt appreciates that. So anyway, continuing on with the quote, "I think he feels really appreciated and we appreciate him. He's been one of the best hitters in baseball over the last couple of years. He's a big part of this team and we'll certainly hope that those are productive dialogues." So yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that they want to bring Brandon Belt back. I see a lot of people talking about how the Giants may choose to go another direction because they have a productive platoon potentially with Darren Ruff and Lamont Wade Jr. And that may be true, but they already kind of had that platoon going. Those guys already played a lot, even with Brandon Belt. So if you take Brandon Belt out of the equation and those two are kind of thrust into a starting role, what happens when one of them goes down? Then you've got to go even deeper into your depth. And then, I don't know, I just think that Brandon Belt was a really important part of this team. And when he was on the field, this was a better team. And so I just don't necessarily see them feeling comfortable moving on from Brandon Belt. That being said, Freddie Freeman is set to reach free agency this winter, as is Anthony Rizzo. So there are some big kind of names out there, but Brandon Belt is really among them with how he played in 2021. And so I think that he will be given the qualifying offer, and I think that they probably want to keep him around, maybe give him a two-year extension similar to Brandon Crawford. Maybe he's in line for more than that. I'm not entirely sure. The numbers have been monstrous when he's been on the field the last couple of years. So I think there's definitely mutual interest, and those, you know, quotes, clearly they value him. And, you know, I would be shocked if he doesn't get the qualifying offer, honestly. So moving on in the conversation, there, you know, it's obvious that they believe that the number one priority is going to be the starting rotation. And that's simply a matter of the fact that outside of Logan Webb, nobody is coming back. Like, nobody is under contract for 2022. So they're going to have to get at least four guys and probably a lot more to be in that rotation in 2022. We honestly have no idea what that starting rotation is going to look like going into next year. It's a giant mystery at this point in time. But the fact is, it is not a bad time to be searching for starting pitchers on the free agent market. So I just wanted to mention some of the names that are going to be out there, assuming they don't sign extensions prior to, you know, hitting the open market. And that list includes Max Scherzer, Carlos Rodon, Kevin Gausman, of course, Robbie Ray, who had a fantastic season, Eduardo Escobar, Clayton Kershaw, Marcus Stroman, Anthony DeSclafani, Steven Matz, Alex Wood, John Gray, and on and on. There's several kind of intriguing guys, Corey Kluber, Zach Greinke. It's just a long list of potentially impact starters. Noah Syndergaard, potentially going to reach free agency. One thing to keep in mind, many of these players are going to probably receive the qualifying offer. And if a player receives the qualifying offer and rejects it, then if you sign that player, you have to give up a draft pick to the team that's losing the player. So it's possible that that actually may not come into play with the collective bargaining agreement expiring in December. It may be that they just take that out, but that's something to definitely monitor. And, you know, Kevin Gausman last year, that's partially why he accepted the qualifying offer from the Giants, because if he had rejected it, then, you know, it's going to hurt his market. And so that's just something to keep in mind. But again, there are some big names out there, Max Scherzer among them. You know, I think the Giants probably really wanted to trade for Max Scherzer at this year's deadline. The Dodgers ended up getting him, but he's potentially going to hit the open market and be available to sign. So coming up next, we'll wrap up that starting pitcher discussion and we'll turn our attention to the Chris Bryant discussion. What did the Giants leadership have to say about Bryant's time here? And is it likely that Chris Bryant is going to come back, or are there other options that make more sense? But before we get into that, we're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, as promised, we are going to wrap up the starting pitcher discussion and talk about Chris Bryant's free agency. So before we get into Bryant, this is what Zaidi said about the pitching. Quote, we have a number of free agents in the rotation, and we have interest in retaining all of those guys, but this is probably the segment of the free agent market that's hardest to predict or pin down because it's a need that every team has, and it's a need that every team tries to address pretty aggressively. It's kind of obvious looking at where our roster is going to be on paper, but that's going to be the number one priority for us. So I have no idea how this is going to shake out. I would imagine that they're going to really make an effort to bring back Kevin Gausman, but he may be in line for kind of a giant, you know, giant is probably the wrong word to use here, gigantic contract. And so it remains to be seen who's coming back, who's not. Will DeSclafani or Wood get the qualifying offer? I think DeSclafani is more likely, but Wood is also a candidate. So that's definitely something to look out for. And those decisions have to come pretty quickly after the World Series ends. And so that's something to keep coming back to Locked On Giants for. We'll have that analysis every single weekday of every move that gets made in the offseason. So anyway, moving on to Chris Bryant, I think that's a big question as well. Chris Bryant is going to be a free agent. Chris Bryant's agent is Scott Boras. And Scott Boras' clients don't typically, you know, sign early, take hometown discounts, all that kind of stuff. And so I think this quote from Zaidi really speaks to that. He said, for us, the move at the deadline was really about pushing chips in with this team. But we recognize that he's a superstar talent and it's going to be a really competitive market for his services. I'm sure we'll have conversations there, but he's going to have a long line of suitors. So we'll just have to see how that develops. And so if that doesn't really strike you as Zaidi saying that they're going to go to all lengths to sign Chris Bryant, then I think you would be correct. And it also, to me, speaks to the fact that Boras clients often are free agents deep into the winter. And Boras is not afraid of his clients signing, you know, late, like January, February, even March in some cases. And so I would not expect a quick resolution to Chris Bryant's free agency. And I think exactly right, Farhan Zaidi saying that they're just going to have to kind of wait and see how it develops. I wouldn't expect them to just come in over the top, overpay, and just sign Chris Bryant at all costs. A big part of that is that there are a lot of talented free agent hitters out there, and I'm not sure Chris Bryant is necessarily the best fit of them all. There are so many good players: Marcus Semien, Carlos Correa, Starling Marte, Freddie Freeman, Corey Seager, Javier Baez, Chris Bryant, Trevor Story, Brandon Belt, Chris Taylor. Those are the top kind of position players. I may have mentioned a pitcher in there, but those are some really good players, and a lot of them are young, or at least several of them are young. Carlos Correa is going to be 27 next year. Actually, no, he just turned 27 about a month ago, but that's pretty darn young, and he's not alone. Like Corey Seager is 28. Chris Bryant is 30. So Chris Bryant is, actually, I take that back, Corey Seager is 27. So there's some young talent available to potentially sign this winter. And I'm not sure, like, for me, I like Corey Seager. I like Carlos Correa. Carlos Correa, kind of a villain with the whole Astros cheating thing, and that may be a factor. But remember that the Giants offered $310 million to Bryce Harper. And the reason they haven't really done that since is that the right player at the right age didn't really come along since then. But this winter, we're back to having a couple of, you know, players in their prime available to sign. Now, these guys are going to receive the qualifying offer, Seager and Correa, but man, I mean, these are the type of guys you make those long-term 10-year offers to, and it wouldn't shock me if the Giants are in on those types of players. I mean, they have so much money coming off the books. They only have committed like $65 million for 2022. And this year, their payroll was at like $165 million. So they're literally shedding like $100 million off the payroll from 2021. And they can spend that however they choose. And also, they could go beyond what they were at this year, I think, with a 107-win team. They could easily justify opening up the bank a little bit more. But obviously, they have to fill out a rotation. We've only got one guy so far in Logan Webb who we know is coming back because he's under club control. Everybody else is set to be a free agent, so there's no certainty there. But man, there are some good players out there in free agency. Bryant is among them, but I would put Seager and Correa ahead of Bryant, and there are other players as well, possibly Marcus Semien, possibly Starling Marte. So we're just going to have to wait and see. I think that's perfectly reasonable what Zaidi said there, and we will find out. It's going to be a fascinating winter. The Giants figure to be involved on pretty much everybody, given all the money they have coming off the books. And so I can't wait. The offseason is always a fun time, but especially now when the Giants are probably arguably going to be the most aggressive team out there, given all the spots they have to fill and all the money they have to spend and all the talent that's in the free agent class. And so it's exciting. We'll be back every step of the way. We're daily through mid-December, Monday through Friday. So, you know, if you like this show, please hit that subscribe button and come back for more. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out so much, so thank you in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. Thanks again for listening. You are now Locked On Giants.